As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Episode 237. Joining us today is Pirates pitcher Ryan Harbin. You're listening to the Bucko Banter podcast, brought to you by the Just Baseball Media Network. Cue the music.
Rockin' 101, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates, and then case after case. Run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snakes.
Welcome back to another episode of Bucko Banter. Today we are joined by Pirates pitcher Ryan Harbin. Ryan, welcome to the pod, man.
What's up? Appreciate you having me.
Ryan, let's get right into it, man. You were drafted out of high school in Central Florida. Talk about that transition from going from high school ball to pro ball.
It was a big jump for me. Being able to just throw it by guys in high school, you can't do that anymore in pro ball. You definitely had to, hit your spots. And for me, the jump was kind of being able to like hit my spots, but not overthink it. I caught myself a lot in pro ball, trying to do too much with it, trying to be too perfect, rather than just being an athlete and, doing what I've done all my life.
Talk about like a little bit more of entering the league, cause you got drafted in 2019 and then obviously there's no season in 2020. What kind of impact did that have on your development or the start to your professional career?
For me, it was a little weird. We're there ready for spring training, getting ready to gear up for, my first full season. I was there a little early or whatever. So I was there for a month and then we're told to go home. And for me, I just come off an off season where I'm used to throwing year round. My first year, they were telling me, hey, give your arm a break. And so then going into a very quick kind of off season again is what it felt like. But still trying to like stay geared up and ready for, whenever we could come back was definitely kind of a weird thing to go through.
Ryan, you've transcended all four levels of affiliate ball up until this point. What do you think is the biggest lesson you've learned each step of the way?
To not overcomplicate things. Those guys are hitting a baseball is hard. And hitting a spot is hard as well, but it's, my little mistake can still be a win. I've been told by my dad all my life, baseball is a game of failure. You can do exactly what you're supposed to do and still fail. And same goes for the hitters against me. They can do exactly what they've read on their report or whatever the case is, and they can still fail. So for me, it's, making sure I don't overcomplicate things, get up there, be athletic, and throw the ball.
Is the biggest difference from going from, Bradenton to Greensboro, from Greensboro to Altoona to Indianapolis, is it a mix of just like pitch selection, more demanding schedule? Like what do you think is the biggest difference, like competition wise, going from level to level?
I think the further you get up, the better the hitters are at, pitch selection, on kind of, what they're looking for. They go up there kind of cutting away half the zone immediately. If I have a pitch that I'm not throwing well, they know to immediately just eliminate that pitch. I felt like for me, it was getting ahead, because as soon as you get ahead, it's like, okay, now they're going into, they can't necessarily be on attack mode as much, where, as if I fall behind, they can just ambush anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talk about your current pitch mix now, Ryan. Has it changed since you got into the pro ball?
Yeah. When I first signed, I was throwing only sinkers. I called it a curveball at the time. And I didn't throw much of a changeup. And then this past season, halfway through, I kind of banged the sinker because it wasn't kind of, you know, what I wanted. You know, I'm hoping to kind of get that back this offseason. I'm going to put some work in on it. But then I'm throwing a four seam now. That's been kind of my main pitch. I'm throwing a harder slider. And then now this, the last like 2 years, I've been working on like a kick change. And that's become, you know, a really good pitch for me as long as I can keep it in zone.
Is it something with that four seam slider kick change mixed with like tunneling those pitches that works with you, talking about like pitch shape or location? Is there something that they identified with those three pitches that allowed you to put more batters away?
I don't think it's anything we've necessarily identified, but I've definitely tried to be better about, you know, working with my misses. You know, if I yank something outside, you know, I can use that to my advantage to use a different pitch or, you know, whatever the case is. You know, I've tried to be better at tunneling my pitches to come out of the same slot, maybe look like the last pitch, but be completely different.
Talk about how you handle tough situations, Ryan, because, you know, there's obviously it's a long season and everyone's going to have their ups and downs. But how do you get into the mindset to, you know, move quickly past, you know, maybe a bad outing?
I mean, for me, something that, you know, mentally gets me ready is it's also a physical thing. I get off the mound every day that I'm not, or every day that I'm hot. So if I pitched yesterday, I'm not going to get off the mound today, but every other day I'm throwing a touch and feel, you know, so if my last outing was bad, I'm going back, kind of looking at some video, talking to the coaches, you know, discussing kind of what wasn't working. And I'm going to get on the mound and, you know, that's going to be my main focus for that day. So, you know, towards the end of the season at AAA, I had a few rough outings. So we went back and looked at some video from spring training when I was really locked in, and just kind of spotted some differences. And, you know, so the next few days, that's kind of what I hammered on, trying to get back into, you know, where I was then. And I felt like, you know, that contributed to finishing the season well.
Do you think you had a little bit more time to work on those types of issues this year? I mean, you hit a career high in innings. You also hit a career high in strikeouts. How did the load of all the innings impact like your arm? Do you feel any different or were you ready to go more?
I mean, it was definitely different. And it was definitely harder. I felt like mentally staying locked in for all the, you know, a long season. But for me, like I said, I don't feel like it was part in the arm. I was throwing 5 to 6 days a week off the mound. And so I felt like my arm was conditioned the entire time. You know, I wasn't overdoing it on the mound on those days. I almost felt like that kept me in better shape.
Right.
But I just felt like, you know, kind of using those days to, you know, mentally stay strong, keep my body, you know, moving well, making sure I'm not overdoing it, trying to, you know, do too much with something else that'll risk my game time. So it's about managing. For me, it was about managing my workload and just being smart about it all.
Absolutely. It's no secret that the Pirates have a plethora of young pitchers, man. Like the list of pitching prospects is very deep, but I think something that's not talked about enough, and I've said it on this show between Adam and I, is I think we have a lot of relievers too, like very talented relievers up at the upper levels. Is that something that you guys talk about in Altoona and Indy bullpens? And do you guys feed off of each other?
I mean, that was something I felt like we talked about in High A. You know, every guy's goal is to get moved up. And so, you know, we're all wanting to get moved up, and then we're looking at the roster ahead of us. And it's like, well, there's guys there too. And then you look at the roster, like, you know, why isn't this guy getting called up? Well, there's guys at the next level as well. So, I mean, I think the Pirates have done a really good job at, you know, like developing great pitchers and especially relievers. And yeah, I mean, so guys are talking about it. We're seeing it. And then we're just bouncing off of each other. You know, it's just, I think it's a giant competition between all of us. You know, like no one wants anyone to do bad. We all just want to see, you know, who's best is the best.
You talked, going back to like your pitch mix and developing all that kind of stuff, you talked about reviewing video and seeing what was working for you and what wasn't. How much has analytics and looking at pitch shape, RPM, velo factored into you either changing something or working towards your next outing?
I've never been huge on analytics. You know, I'm big on like kind of feel, and just kind of like actually seeing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, like, you know, the hitter is seeing the ball coming in. They're not seeing the numbers coming in. And so for me, it's I'm huge on feel. That's why I'm off the mound as much as I am. And just, you know, analytics, sure, I'll go back and look at it. You know, this year I felt like there was a few times where my slider was a lot shorter than it used to be. And so there was a few times I was going back looking at it and stuff, and I just find myself going down a rabbit hole of trying to find excuses or whatever it is on why that pitch isn't what it is. Rather than going out there and just throwing a few sliders in a row nice and slow so that way I can fill it out of my hand and slowly, gradually, like, building that back up to, you know, full speed. And so I think that's a big part of it for me, is not getting too deep into the analytics and just sticking to the feel part of it.
Absolutely. I think everyone is different, and knowing what works for you is very important, especially as a pitcher. But Brian, this is actually a perfect time to interview you, because we want to congratulate you on being selected to the 40-man roster.
Thank you.
Let's talk about that real quick. How did you receive that news, and does that, you know, give you confidence that the Pirates have a lot of confidence in you after this past season?
Yeah, I mean, it's sick. You know, I got a call from Ben Charrington, you know, saying that they've made the decision to put me on the 40-man. I'm pumped about it. You know, it gives me that little more drive to make sure, you know, that I'm ready to be on the big league roster. That's my goal, is to be in the big leagues. And I just feel like, you know, them kind of showing that trust, you know, we've spent the last 7 years together. You know, they kind of know how I like to do things. I know how they like to do things. And so for me, it's just, you know, them showing that they're happy with where I'm at, you know, that we're not done yet, but they're happy with where I've come. You know, it shows a lot of trust from the Pirates.
How does it affect your confidence going into the offseason? Because it's either, you know, you're placed on the 40-man or you hit minor league free agency, right? So there's like a big difference on what could happen in your future and a lot left up in the air. Now that that's solidified and you know where you're going to be, what does the offseason look like in terms of workload and your day-to-day?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of pressure throughout the season as far as, you know, knowing that's coming this offseason. I don't think it necessarily changes my offseason. You know, my offseason, I take that time to get stronger and work on my flaws. And so whether it was, you know, that call from Ben Charrington or going to free agency, you know, my goal this offseason is to get better at what I'm not so good at. So for me, you know, strike zone is a big problem for me. So my goal this offseason, especially now as I'm starting to get into bullpens and stuff, is to just see how straight to my target I can be. I don't want to fall off. I want to see how easy and straight I can be to my target.
Absolutely. Ryan, this is a question we ask everyone that we've had on here, especially on the minor league segment. For Pirates fans that might not know much about you, what type of player or pitcher are they getting with Ryan Harbin?
I feel like for me, you're going to get a guy who's aggressive. You know, I'm going out there, I'm trying to blow guys up with a fastball. And then same thing with my slider. I'm not slowing down to try to get this big moving slider. I'm going to throw it as hard as I can to make it look like a fastball. You know, so I think you're getting an aggressive pitcher who wants to get punch outs and wants to. My goal is to eventually be a big time closer who's, you know, winning games.
My last question, Ryan, and this is something we also ask everybody, who is one guy, and I'm going to challenge you here, outside of Connor Griffin, that you've played with in the minor league system or that you've got to see play that really stands out, or you look at them and you're like, wow, that's another level of talent?
I tell you what, one of my close buddies, Brandon Bidwell.
He
had an unreal season this year. And I felt like we've kind of had a similar path as far as, like, you know, injury zone. And then just the progress that he's made this season, I think is, you could ask anybody in the org, you know, like, how good of a pitcher is he? And they're going to tell you he's nuts. So I think that's one guy who is kind of underrated in a lot of people's eyes who don't look in, you know, the minor league side of the Pirates.
Absolutely. You and Brandon were two guys we talked about a lot this year on the pod. So I'm definitely excited to see you both in the Pirates bullpen soon, man. But hey, well, thanks for coming on and joining us and talking about this year. We're excited to continue following your development, and hopefully we see you down in spring training this spring.
Of course. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Rockin' 101, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates and it